I think we should probably start by introducing the show.
Probably.
So, welcome to Pyro Toasty Talks.
Pyro Toasty Talks.
With David and Renee and Zona and Brian.
Yes.
The podcast about woodworking, wood burning, and business. Running a small business as an artist.
And life.
Oh. This is perfect.
Okay.
Okay. So, today's episode, we're going to talk about the podcast itself and the intention of the podcast, what we're going to be talking about, what some of the topics that we've discussed are, and kind of what to expect.
Great.
Cool. I'm just going to let you lead the way on that because we were in the car all day and I have no notes. I have the back of an envelope. So I'm completely unprepared.
I think the best thing to do is to just talk about what we hope to get out of the podcast, right? So, like, for me, we suggested this a couple of weeks ago. Zona and I were just having a conversation. We're like, you know, there's not really a lot that is out there for the pyro community. There's a handful of podcasts. There's a few forums. There's, you know, the Reddit sub-forums, the Facebook groups. But there's not really a lot. I think, like, there were in the past some really good
like websites.
Of, yeah, like people who were kind of focused on the social aspect of it and bringing people together. I just don't see a lot of that. Now, I'm not well ingrained in the community. A lot of what I know just comes from you. But I was like, you know what? I mean, it doesn't, you know, it's a good idea to just kind of try it out and see if people are interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I absolutely agree. I think, you know, Renee and I banter quite a lot.
Yes.
And we're very chatty. And I think, you know, like a lot of our conversations are, they're centered on work. And I pick her brain a lot and she picks my brain a lot. And but we also, we're friends and it's nice to chat. And I think one of the greater things about doing a podcast is that we can do what we do naturally, which is talk. You know, talk. We chat.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the greatest things that I love about socializing with anybody or getting to know anybody is the getting to know them. And then, you know, I believe that you can learn anything from anybody, right? No matter what that person, that thing could be. It could be something really insignificant, quote unquote. Or it could be something big, but you're going to learn something from somebody, good or bad. And I like learning.
Yeah.
So
everybody has something to offer. And if you don't ever put it out there, then how can anyone see or learn or. Yeah. Well, and my thoughts are kind of the same. I mean, like, there's no just kind of like casual chatting business pyrography. The only other pyrography podcast that I know of is more of like direct interviews with artists, which is totally fine. And that has a lot to offer in and of itself, but we just have something a little bit different that we can offer to the community and just more vibes, more chat, but like also business. 'Cause like we both do the same thing. We have two different business models and two different audiences and two different takes on pyrography and how we go about our businesses. So like us coming together, it's not just my business or your business. It's like, let's talk about both of our businesses and compare and chat. And like, I think that that's really valuable for others looking in to be able to get kind of like two for one.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was thinking that maybe we should introduce ourselves, not just the podcast.
This is
right?
True.
Like, because, I mean, like, why should people listen to this podcast? Like, who are we that they're going to even want to be bothered with listening to us? Like, what, who are we?
Who are we?
You know?
That's a very existential question.
Yeah, we could get
we're not going down that road, love.
Well,
why are we here?
We can introduce our voices and just, like, who we are. So, this is Renee. This is my voice. I'm a pyrographer. My husband, David, and I, we own It's David and Renee, and we do a bunch of different stuff. Okay, so we make wood surfaces for artists. Right now, our niche is kind of in the pyrography world, because most of our customers, most of our like biggest fans are other pyrographers who love using our wood surfaces for their art. But we're not just limited to only taking pyrography customers. You know, like, if you're a painter and you paint on wood, you would love our surfaces. But I've kind of learned just personally in our marketing, saying like, oh, quality wood surfaces for wood artists, like, no one uses that language. No one calls themselves a wood artist. So, like, who would identify with that? So, you know, I've kind of changed our marketing lingo to pyrographers, but we're open to all customers of all kinds for your wood surface needs. So that's one thing that we do. And then I also make my own art. I'm a professional pyrographer, so we go to juried art shows. I sell a lot of my art in person. So that's kind of another avenue of our business. Teaching. That's the third part. I'm like, I've really dived into teaching online, and that has been really rewarding to see like what I can offer. Kind of like how I mentioned a minute ago, like, if you don't ever put it out there, like, no one can learn from you. So yeah, the third avenue is teaching, and that has been really rewarding, like, being able to not just teach, but like connect with everyone. Like, I don't just teach for the money. I don't teach to make sales. Like, I teach because I know I have something valuable to offer people, and that it can be really rewarding for them. Like, getting compliments or just remarks after a class when someone's like, oh my gosh, that was so great. Thank you so much. I learned a lot. Like, look at this project that I'm working on. I tried it because of you. You inspired me. Like, that kind of feedback, like, really fuels my fire. And it kind of solidifies in me that, like, I'm doing a good job and I have something valuable to offer people. Like, so anyway, that's me. That's what we do. I guess, David, it's your turn.
Hello, this is David's
voice. Do you need to get closer to the microphone?
I don't know. Do I? Oh, it's so weird because it's going through the headphones. Hold on. Hello, this is David's voice.
Hi, David.
Hi, David.
Yes, thank you, ghostly whisper of Zoda in the background. I do any of the stuff in our business that will either be audited by the tax man or result in trips to the hospital. So, sharp tools.
He always says accounting to people, like, anything that could lose you a finger, that's my job. She makes it look pretty, and I chop it up in the shop. That's what you always say to people.
That's because it's what I do.
So anyway, no, you are a woodworker with fine woodworking skills. And
yeah, but that all...
Brian.
Yeah.
No, it's not just pyrography. It's also woodworking. Hint, hint.
Yeah, I will chime in with woodworking stuff.
And business stuff. And artist thoughts. You have thoughts? You're valuable here.
Yes, thank
you. Hi. I'm Zona.
Hi,
this is Zona's voice. Thank you, Renee. I have been doing pyrography professionally for about 3 years. I decided to make some really big life choices. I made big moves from one state to another and then decided on a complete career change. And I wanted to start my own business and decided, well, I've always been crafty. It's what I've been doing my entire life. That was my distraction. That was my constructive, what's the word that they use? Constructive outlet for
the thing you do to make existence bearable.
Yes. Working a corporate job. In this country, yeah. No, I feel that. Yes. Everybody has that existential crisis, the existential dread of existing.
Yes. I figured being constructive was a lot better than being destructive.
True.
So, you know, and I really truly love doing. I love doing my crafts. I like making pretty things, and I like making people happy with the pretty things that I make. So it just made sense that, you know, once COVID hit and jobs changed, and to just go
for it.
Jump off a cliff right into the small business ownership side of life. And oh man, has it been learning experience. You know, just I self-taught myself how to do pyrography. Like, I looked at a video.
I looked
at a YouTube video, bought a book, and said, oh, I can do that. Because, of course, you know, you always tell yourself that you look at something once and you're like, oh, I know exactly how to do that.
Yeah, that's like all the people that walk into our booths at a show and they see our stuff and they're like, I could do that. I'm that person.
Exactly. I'm that person.
Except I don't say it in front of other people. But anyway, yeah.
And then you actually do it.
Yes, that is definitely the difference. Yeah. We actually do it. See, I think in my head that I can do that or whatever it is that I'm looking at, but then I'll never say it to them. And generally speaking, I won't believe it until he tells me. He's just like, you know, and I'm like, no, it's not. It's not good. And then it sells, and then I'm like, oh, maybe it is.
Mm-hmm. We have the exact same conversation.
Yeah. No, her stuff is very good, and. For example, right? So she did a piece. It was my mother's dog, Dale. Dale was a half shepherd, half chow, and a gorgeous dog. Died about maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And my mom has not had another dog since then. Aww, that was like baby. It. Like, she's had dogs before that, but Dale was the final dog. Right, there was no dog after Dale, so my mom was very affectionate about him. Zona did a piece on Dale. I think she actually showed it.
Is this the one you showed us in the diner?
Yeah.
Yes.
And my mom absolutely loved it. We were at a show and somebody started talking about doing a piece on their dog, and I'm like, I think you could do that. She's like, I can't do it. Can't do it. I'm like, I don't know. I said, why don't you send us the picture? And then we'll let you know if we can do it or not. And I said, if we can't do it, we'll pass it along to somebody else who we think can. But honestly, I think getting out of her comfort zone is, you know, something that she has to be able to do. Because I think there's plenty of times where there were other things that you said you couldn't do, and now you're doing those regularly.
Mm-hmm. That is true, yes. I appreciate the... It's not even a nudge. It's a full-blown push into my outside of my comfort zone.
Hip check.
Oh, God, is it? I just feel like if I'm going to sell it, like, I have to love it and I have to believe in it. I have to be confident in it. And the truth is, when it comes to portraits, I don't feel 100% confident about it. Not when it comes to... animals or people. Like, I refuse to even try and start
people. I won't do
Let me
people.
Start with an animal.
Yeah.
So until I feel like I've got enough practice and enough experience and I feel confident, like, that I'm happy with it, that in my talent, in my ability to do it justice. Because if you're talking about memorial portraits, you're talking about very specific people who are looking for a very specific feel when they look at this portrait, this burn that you've done. They are looking for a particular emotion, and they're looking for a light in the eyes. They're looking very, very specific.
Yeah.
And if I can't put that, if I can't translate that, then I haven't done the portrait justice. I haven't done this memorial justice, and that's, as an artist, as a person, that's just disrespectful, in my opinion. Like, I wouldn't, I couldn't do that. I just can't do that to somebody. Yeah. So until I feel, and then of course, then again, I'm also my worst critic, until I feel like I have gotten to that point, I just don't want to offer that. But yet he still does. And then I yelled at him promptly afterwards.
I told the person, I said, if he sends it to you and you feel like you can't do it, we will give it to another artist who we think can.
That is I told him very honestly, I said, you know, send me a picture and I will let you know if I feel that I can do this picture justice. Mm-hmm. If I cannot.
She can.
She did.
She can do it justice. No, I'm saying she can do it justice.
I haven't gotten an email yet, so we'll see.
I just had a very similar experience with that. There's a local lady who messaged me and was like, hey, I really want to get a little portrait done. Sorry. I really want to get a little portrait done of my boyfriend's dog. Do you do pets? Like, is that something that's doable? And I said, okay, honestly, I have only done a couple of dogs before. I typically don't do pets or people, but I know that I should practice this as an artist. So send me some pictures. I'm going to practice and then I will let you know if I feel like I can do the dog justice. And if I can't, then, you know, I have a whole list of other pyrographers that I'm happy to send this to. But let me just get some practice. Give me a week. I'm going to do some sketches. I'm just going to practice animals and, like, I'll let you know. And I did. So, like, I use my iPad to, like, do a draft of the dog because there are specific features about dogs and pets that people want. Like, they don't want just a face of a pit bull. They want their pit bull. They want the way their pit bull's eyes look. They want the way their cute little ear is crooked. Like, people want those little details. And so when I'm, like, drafting up animals of any sort, like, even just my normal, like, wildlife stuff, I use my iPad and I'm playing with the little details. Like, how big should I make the shine on the eye? Like, when you do the little highlight, should it just be a dot of a white highlight? Should it be, like, a crescent on the high? You know, like, there are just certain things. And when you burn, it's permanent. But on the iPad, you can mess up and delete and try again. So I really want to get it right on the iPad so that way I know exactly how to burn it. And so I did that. I did a burn, and I added some white highlights, and it was awful. I'm so glad I practiced on, it was on one of my little samples, my cherry sample. It was just the backside of one of those. And I did not like how it came out. I threw it away. I didn't send her a picture. Went back to my iPad, made some changes in like fur texture and stuff. Came back and burned it again. Loved it. I was so proud of it. I sent her a picture. She was like, oh my gosh, I love it. It's exactly how I imagined it. Oh, my boyfriend's gonna love it. This is so great. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh, this is so sweet. And she was like, is this it? Or like, are you, is, and I said, listen, if you're happy with that, that was just a practice piece. But if you're happy with that, you can have it. Here's the price that it would be. But if you do want me to do it like on a bigger piece or a nicer piece of wood or whatever, I'm more than willing to do that. This was just practice. She was like, no, I love it. I'll pay for it. Like, I'll come pick it up tomorrow, you know. And she was just so over the moon with it. But like,
nice.
It's scary because like, it's not my dog. I haven't been looking at this dog for 12 years, you know, like you have. And I want you to know that that's your dog. That's not just a poodle. It's not just a lab. Like, it's your baby, you know. And it's scary.
I think that's absolutely. I keep thinking that I need to practice. Like, I've got some really great photo shots of Frankie and Aesop. And I keep telling myself I'm going to practice. But every time I look at this picture, I can't. There's just something that I'm like, I'm just not ready to do this picture. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's subconsciously I'm thinking memorial portrait. Mm-hmm. And it's not a memorial. I don't know if it's like because I'm just terrified that I'm going to mess it all up and then I'm going to be really mad and then I'm just not going to want to do it at all. I have no idea what it is, but I do know that at some point I do need to practice. Like I started doing a kitten, just a random kitten, and it's coming out okay. The face came out really cute. The body, I'm like, we're going to put this down for a while because it does not look cute at all.
Vicky's picture came out good, though.
Well, yes. There was Max, but he was a quickie and just
it doesn't mean that it wasn't good.
It was cute. It's a level one. I desire a level 20 because I'm just an overachiever.
Same. Yeah.
And on that note, the last voice in our podcast, our executive producer.
Yes, I'm the executive producer. I don't do anything with wood. This is Brian. I'm kind of the odd man out.
I thought my understanding was that you are pretty much the salesman of the wood that Zona does work on.
He is Zona's biggest type man.
Well, it's very entertaining because when we go to markets, I am the day laborer and the
the muscle
and the salesperson. I carry all the stuff. I pick up the stuff and put it down, and then I tell people how good it is. And people listen. They're like, yeah, it is good. I'm like, I told you. You didn't listen.
The man deserves a raise.
So, no, but in all honesty, I'm just, I do try to help out with a lot of the behind the scenes stuff. This is not my first small business. I ran a small business about 10 years ago doing web design and web development before I went back into the corporate world. But I know a bit about running a business, so I handle a lot of the back end stuff, taxes, accounting, you know, websites, sales inventory, social media. We can do a whole podcast on social media. Absolutely. If we want to, on my spreadsheet. I'm responsible for creating the spreadsheet.
Can we release like a going to bed special episode, and it's just you and I discussing like the intricacies of tax and accounting.
People will fall asleep within 10 minutes.
Oh my god, it'll be great. So good. It'll be so good. I'll just be like, you do those quarterly reports yet?
I'm waiting for Pennsylvania to find me for not prepaying my tax on time because I'm not entirely sure when it's supposed to be there.
We paid the taxes, right? And they didn't charge us. They didn't withdraw the money from the account, and then they came back. We got a fee, and when we asked them, we said, well, why did we get a fee? We paid it on time. They're like, oh, well, there was a problem processing it. No, that's your problem.
That's not my problem. I paid on time.
And they're like, oh, you know, it's not our job to go run after you. You got to check to make sure that the money was.
It's yes, the look Zonik just gave me. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Were they nice about it?
Golly.
No.
Oh. I got on the phone.
North Carolina sucks. Pennsylvania's been super nice.
I got on the phone and I was trying really hard to be professional and nice. Mm-hmm. Right,
customer service.
And, mm-hmm. Right, you know, I'm bringing the customer service up from way back deep down inside, from all the years that I did it, and I called them and I was asking to see if we could get the fee removed because it was the first time that we'd actually missed a payment, and there were. At the end of it, the last guy, because they kept transferring me, I think I was on the phone with them for like an hour and a half, just getting transferred to different people.
Good Lord.
And the last guy that I spoke to basically said, it's not their job because they're the government to tell us that the payment didn't go through.
But it is, though.
Yes, it is, though.
And, it's your offices. And, okay.
Listen, I was ready to throw down and be like, I said, you know, he's like, well, but it's your job to make sure that you pay taxes. And I was like, and I'm not denying that, but you're making it sound like I was trying not to. Clearly, you saw that we tried to pay it. And for whatever reason, the payment failed.
On your end. Not because you had insufficient funds. Not because your stuff bounced.
Exactly. Yeah. And I said, like, the most frustrating part to me is that I didn't get an email.
No notification.
Or any kind of, like, heads up that it failed. I was like, it's frustrating and it's disheartening because it's not like we were trying not to pay it. We tried to pay it. It failed. And you didn't even give us a chance to resubmit the payment before you come back 2 months later with this ridiculous fee. Yeah. So now it was like extra money on top of what we were already paying. It was a couple hundred bucks. No. Then it was another couple hundred dollars fee on top of that for a late
Absolutely
fee.
Absolutely not.
And I was just, and I said, that's really disheartening. And he basically caught attitude and was just like, well, that's not my problem. Sir. it's you as a small business, this, that, and the other. And I was like, you're not, don't make it sound like I didn't try and pay, because I did.
If it happened once, how many times else has it happened to other people? I smell a class action lawsuit.
Sir.
And it just, it really, I was, it, I had to stop. I had to breathe, and I had to remember that if I started cursing him out, that it would not end well for me. So
right.
I was just like, you know, and I was, he was just like, well, this is the government. And I felt like telling him, bro, don't even play that game with me, because I worked for the government, and this whole bull crap that you're throwing my way is bull crap. Because when I worked for the government, guess what? If I don't pay my income taxes for the year, my regular income tax, I'm sorry, you're not going to come at me? You're not going to come for me? No, you're going to come for me.
Yeah.
But I was just like, okay, let me bring it back.
Inner peace.
And I simply,
yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm just saying that it's really frustrating that I wasn't even given the chance to correct the problem before I was penalized for it. So then his answer was, and this killed me. Well, you don't check your bank account and make sure that the payment goes through?
No, literally, because think about literally anything else. You go to a restaurant, you get the bill, you hand them the credit card, they come back with the receipt, you sign it, you think everything's hunky-dory, you go home. A week later, you get a bill from the restaurant that's like, you didn't pay us. You still owe us $40 for your meal, right? Like, no! Like, you paid, I handed you the card, transaction was complete, I went home, end of story. I'm sorry
Ronald
that...
Ronald McDonald doesn't come knocking on your door.
Right, McDonald's not going to come knocking on my door. Like, and then they're not going to charge me a late fee for my food that I ate 2 weeks ago that I thought I paid for, but clearly I didn't. Like, that's not how it works.
Well, their excuse is that they're not a business, they're the government.
Yeah, that was the words that he used.
We can fight
and
about that.
And I was
that.
Just like...
I'll throw hands for you, because it's BS. No other service works that way. I'm sorry. I completed the transaction. I was under the assumption that this was done. This was completed. I went about my way. I'm sorry that your processing payment failed and that your system failed. But, like, that's literally not my fault. Like, I paid.
It was.
You know, like. Whew.
But now it's a matter of, like, every quarter we pay it. And then I'm like. Obsessively
watching,
checking
your
the
account yeah.
now, and I'm now twitching I don't trust until them. Like the payment goes exactly.
Right. Yeah,
like because I don't want to have to pay an unnecessary fee
because they effed it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not your fault.
That
they
money
effed
can
it
go
up.
Towards more paint.
Exactly.
Yeah, true. This is true.
Or more wood. More wood. You know, more canvases.
I know. More fun stuff.
More canvases that yeah, I've been told just, I cannot that's buy. Just
a I did not say that you cannot buy it. I said you Ryan. Have to sell the ones.
How
I said you have you? To sell. Sell the ones you have before you buy more. I said you have to use.
This is true. See, this is the voice of reason, Zona.
Yes, he is absolutely the voice of reason. Don't let me lose. He, if he lets me lose, it's a bad time, and the credit card is melting.
Well, here's the thing. She has to make things on the wood so that I can sell it.
Yeah. See, it's a team.
Yeah, exactly. But if she's buying the canvases but not putting things on them, then I have nothing to sell.
This is true.
It's very true. It's absolutely true. I have... This is why I'm using this. It's funny, though, because he's less like, that's new. No, it's really not. It's not a new piece of wood. It's been here. I've just been hiding it.
The stash is real.
I get all the credit card statements. I know...
He's watching. He has eyes.
And I will say, it's David and Renee is not the problem.
Hot damn. Love to hear it. Yes.
She has, like, honestly, I feel like that's one of the, like, the stuff that we get from you guys is, like, we turn that stuff around.
Yeah. That's great. That's good to hear on our end, actually.
The problem is some of the, like, exotic specialty woods and stuff that, you know, she'll go to, like, there's certain places locally that she'll go to and buy, like, you know, some piece of Philippine mahogany or something like that.
The Philippine mahogany sold, like, but no, but seriously, I got the Philippine mahogany. I put the astrology signs on it, and they sold.
Those were gorgeous. I'm just saying
that stuff tends to be expensive.
This is true. Specialty, yes, a lot of the, anything that needs to be imported, that's bigger money right there.
Well, what the thing that I like to do, though, is there's, like, certain places where I like us to get our wood from, right? So one of them is through you guys. The other one is through a place here called Carolina Urban Lumber.
I follow them on Instagram. Which, yeah. Yeah.
They,
oh, I know.
They sell diverted wood. So what I like to do is I like to sell that kind of stuff because you can tell a story about it. Right? I can sit there and I can tell somebody, you know, she's got this nice piece with a dragon on it. And I could tell them that, you know, this was a piece of, you know, live edge wood that was going to go to a landfill. But rather than go to a landfill, we repurposed it, made it into a piece of art. And, you know, like that kind of stuff, it's when we tell them that, you know, oh, well, this is like, I got a whole little spiel that I give whenever I'm selling something that we get from you guys, where it's like, oh, well, this is wood that we get from, you know, another small business out in Pennsylvania, and they source their wood locally, and they do all of their masonry and their, you know, their woodworking in house, and, you know, we buy direct from them. So, you know, buying a piece from us, you know, you're supporting two small businesses. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, it gives people a better feeling when they know that this isn't something that we bought from Amazon. You know, we didn't buy, you know, not that there's anything wrong with burning on a piece of wood that you get from Amazon.
There's not as much story behind it, canvas. Though. There's not as much connection behind it.
And I think when you're trying to separate yourself from the other companies that do, you know, laser burning and, you know, the kind of the cookie cutter stuff, you know, I think the more personal it is, the more of a story there is behind it, the more meaning there is behind the thing that you're selling, the more value the person is getting out of it. And we had some people at our last market who, you know, they come over and they just, like, it's not even, they don't even look at the price tag. They just, you know, this is what I want and I'm buying it. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that we're marketing it towards.
It's very interesting because I'll watch the pieces that I put out and, like, what wood I've used and whatnot and how people react to them. Because without saying a word, I'll just sit back. Like, he does all the talking. He's the socializer. And I tend to just sit in the corner. I'll stand in the corner. I'll just, like, watch the shop. I'll watch the people that come in. And you can see. Mm-hmm. You know, you can see them when they come in and they're, like, either they connect to the picture. And, like, you can just see the you know, that whoa look on their eyes, you know, and then, like, we encourage them to touch, you know, we'll say, here, touch the wood, feel the textures that are on there. And a lot of people are just, like, really fascinated by that. But then they'll also look at the wood that it's on. Mm-hmm. And I've had people say, I love this art, but I love this wood. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I have another piece of wood like that, and I get it from my friends, and this and the other. I'm like, they're like, great. I'm like, it's cherry. I don't care. I like, okay.
Oh, that was like the guy from the Ukraine,
and
right?
Then you get a custom, and it's like, awesome.
And then, then, you know, or I'm texting you at like 10 o'clock at night, hey, can you make this?
And I'm like, let me ask David. Hold on.
That's how we came up with the cologne stand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, the cologne stand. That's exactly. He had an idea, and I was like, oh, I know somebody who could possibly make this happen. You know, but I was honest with them, and I was just like, listen, let me get in contact with my supplier and just make sure, but I have an idea. You know, and that was one of the more fulfilling, you know, custom orders. And I actually got an email from him over the holidays, and he was like, you know, I just wanted to drop a line. I was sitting there staring at the piece, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm really grateful and I really loved it. Yeah. That was really nice. That's sweet. You know, and it's always nice to get that.
Absolutely.
Like, so, you know, but that's, it's part of the story.
Okay, so fun things.
We're saying a fun thing about us? Was that
the I'm just going to say multiple fun fact. Things. Okay, so I... people in my family get struck by lightning. That's always a fun fact. That's been a fun fact for me, like, my whole life. Multiple people on my mom's side of the family have gotten struck multiple times. And they've all lived. I mean, some of them are dead now, R.A.P., but, like, they didn't die because of lightning. They just died from other things. But they're like, yeah, I've been struck. Like, what? So, you know, we have a lot of family jokes about that, about, like, who's next and, oh, don't be in a thunderstorm. Hate to be caught in the weather with you. Like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I've heard that my whole life. So, anyway, that's interesting.
Wait, hold on. The funnest part is that even though they say, like, oh, who's next? But it goes down the generation.
It literally goes down the generation. So, like, my mom is next, and then it'll be me. So.
Oh, so your fate is already sealed.
Correct. It's just a matter of time at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Gotcha.
If her mom beats the curse, I think we're in the clear.
Which I
makes
don't
the
know.
Fact that her mom's flying up here through thunderstorms.
I don't know that the. I know. Tomorrow my mom's flying in from Texas. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a fun fact. And then my other fun fact is that me and multiple people in my family have the same birthday. Do you know this about me? Have I told you this?
You mentioned it in one of our timber doodles.
Okay.
Talks. Okay. But
for the record,
side note, you should talk about that at the next podcast.
Oh, the timber doodle stuff.
By the way, when you whisper into the microphone, they can't hear you.
Oh. No?
No.
The people can hear you.
It worked out.
It did work out.
It did
work out. Yeah, so multiple people in my family have the same birthday. So I was born on my mom's birthday. My mom was born on her grandma's birthday. I have a cousin with our birthday on my mom's side. We have a great aunt on my mom's side with our birthday. And then my mom's, he's passed now, but my mom's dog Gizmo had our birthday. And then my hedgehog Noodles that I had in college, she also had my birthday. So we're not very religious or spiritual, but like, I like to think that the cosmos aligned in some way, shape, or form for that. It's just kind of like a little sprinkle of stardust.
They're not very religious or spiritual, but there is a clear order of who's getting struck by lightning.
And correct.
Many people are being born on the same day.
There is a power of divinity somewhere in there, but I don't know what it wants. Is it trying to kill us? Is it trying to let us thrive? I don't know. Oh, and I also had two jellyfish as a pet, as pets. Oh. I know. Well, actually, it was three, and I couldn't decide on names, so David named them H2O. Because, like, they're water. I know. And then when one of them died, we didn't know who it was. So we were just like, maybe it's two. I don't know. It's we have H and O left. But they all eventually disintegrated. And, like, they had a light. They had, like, a disco light in their little tank thing. So you could, like, change the color on it. Like SpongeBob and the Jellyfish Jam. It's like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It was great. I loved them. Anyway, your fun fact.
You know, the listeners are going to be very disappointed that they didn't get to see the SpongeBob disco jam that you just did there. Because that was, I think, more of a visual thing. Yeah, there you go.
The shoulder shrug, the jam.
You got to be careful how much visual humor you bring to our audio media.
I know. How does it translate? We'll see.
We'll have to have somebody... if you would like to be the episode one super fan, I would like to see some, like... animated facial reconstructions of the various faces going on to the voices.
Is that a thing? Okay, David, your fun fact. Go.
Yes.
Do I have a fun fact? If you go hiking with me in a woods in the northeast of America, I will probably be able to talk about trees for an uninterrupted 3 hours.
It's true. The man knows a lot about trees. And the woods in general.
I can verify this. We went for a walk with him in the Northeast.
Yeah, we love birds.
Or birds.
It was fantastic.
Ooh, fun fact about you. When you were little, you couldn't say penguin, right? So you said penguin?
I don't think that's actually true. I think that's just how my mom says things.
Is that not true? I thought you were a penguin.
I probably also said it that way, but I think it's because my mom said it.
Penguin?
Penguin!
Like the bird.
Penguin?
Yeah.
Penguin?
Yeah, like the bird.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out what the mispronunciation is.
There's an L
yeah.
that doesn't exist in the normal
one. Oh, penguin.
Oh, penguin, like gotcha. Like England.
Sure. Gotcha.
Kind yes. of, yeah.
Yes.
You're adding an L to the word penguin.
Okay.
That actually sounds really cute.
I know, it's a penguin. Oh, she's so cute.
Did you know that
when Matthew,
baby puffin?
When Matthew was younger, my oldest son, when he was younger, he had speech therapy. And he had trouble with his hard R's. So they were trying to get him to practice his hard R's. So he used to have him say, hamburger.
That's so cute. Okay, so fun fact about my dad, LOL, if dad's listening.
Just throwing apparently, out facts about people today.
I know, because it's funny to me. He couldn't say his hard R's either. And his mom called pants britches. And he couldn't say the R. So it was like, button my bitches. Like... I know. It's like, it's my bitches. He couldn't say the R.
Sounds like an SNL skit.
Oh my god, I'm
dead.
I know.
Oh, that's so funny.
I know.
Oh wow, that's hilarious.
I think my grandma told me that like 20 years ago, and I have remembered that forever.
That is funny.
It's my bitches.
I thought of a fun fact.
All right, you're up, honey.
Oh, what's fun fact? Go ahead.
Hold on. Fun fact part two. Since I made my hobby my business, I had to find a new hobby. And now I'm pretty into disc golf, which is... You should come play disc golf with me sometime. Anyone?
The man loves his disc golf.
There you go.
Disc golf is... I don't know if it's big everywhere, but it is big in North Carolina.
Charlotte's like a hub for some of like the biggest fans. So you guys are near it.
There is... Next door to my CJ's school, my other son, CJ, next door to his school, there's like a disc golf competition thing. It's like, it's, yeah.
Really?
Huh. Yeah, it's part of SPCC.
That's what we've discovered about each other is like we are the same person.
Yes.
And our husbands are just about the same. And our lives are so parallel. It's uncanny. Like,
David knows so much more about the outdoors than I do.
That's okay.
Our relationships, like, their marriage, their relationship is just like
I know.
Ours. Like, just the wives who are just like, I have imposter syndrome, and the husbands are just like, shut your face, you're great, you know, and get out of your comfort zone and do stuff. Mm-hmm. And the wives that are just like, no, and the husbands that are just like, yeah.
We do the creative stuff, and our husbands do all the back end stuff, all the manual labor, all the taxes, all like all the stuff.
David's probably also better at disc golf than me.
I mean, we don't know.
You're probably better at web development than he is. So
definitely
that.
Better at web development.
Disc golf sounds like more fun than web development.
Depends on who you're talking to. But
get a better tan, that's for sure.
LOL. All right, Zona, go with your fun facts.
I don't tan well.
Neither does he. He just burns to a crisp.
That's not true.
Sorry, that's a fun fact.
My Scottish blood makes me tan to red, but it's not a burn. And I just get more ruddy.
Sir, it's called burning. Okay, Zona, you go.
Ask Brian. He would know.
Shh, shh.
I get the devil's itch.
What the hell is the devil's itch?
Oh.
58, edit
it's
out.
It's a bad day. Is what it
devil's
is.
You do itch. Not want to be around me when I'm out in the sun too much. Like, I get, like, my nerves. This is not a fun fact. This is a horrifying fact.
It's a terrible
it
fact.
It really is.
It's a fact, but it's not fun.
It's not fun at all. I get, like, this, like my nerves under my skin start going bananas. And I'm just in, like intense
Are
pain.
Are you allergic to the sun?
That's what I think.
I don't think so, because if he was allergic to the sun, if he went outside and it was sunny at all at any given point in time, he'd have a reaction. But he doesn't. He only has this reaction if, like, we're at the pool and he takes off his shirt and, like, his chest and his back get burned. His arms tan. The back of his neck will get red, but he won't get the devil's itch on it. It's when he gets a burn on places that would normally not get, like tan, underexposed, like his back
skin,
right? Like someplace, like the shirt, like farmer's mm-hmm. tan. He has the farmer's tan, taken off the shirt. Not good. Like it's bad. It's bad enough that he has to take nerve blocking medication when
that
he has it.
That was the question that I had. Yeah,
it's. We laugh about it now, but I've seen it, and I'm, like, fastidious about, okay, we're going to the beach. I'm SPF 100 plus.
Except when we were on our honeymoon, it was really windy out, and she sprayed some spray sunscreen on me.
Directly into the eye.
And, no, it only, like, zigzagged over my...
Instead, because it's supposed to spray, and the spray's out, like in a cone, like it normally does, except it was so windy that it was, the lighter particles were, like, not hitting him. Yeah. It was only, like, the more direct particles, so literally he burned, and you could see the zigzag, and I felt so bad.
This is just a little, like, non-pyography pro tip for listeners. If you use spray tan, you're also supposed to rub it into your skin. You're not just supposed to spray it on.
So many people.
I didn't know that.
And you're also supposed to wait after you put on sunscreen. You can't just put on sunscreen and then get in the water. You have to, like, let it soak in. But you sit on the beach or the pool and you just watch people misuse sunscreen all day. And it drives me crazy. Crazy. You do.
I learned the hard way.
Sir. He, like, lathers up and he's like, okay, jumps into the pool. And I'm like, you got to sit for at least 10 minutes. Like, did your mama not teach you this? Like, my mama did.
Wow.
My mama didn't teach me any of that.
The spray stuff? You got to rub
it in.
Mom,
if you're listening, I love you, but you didn't teach me any of this.
My mama taught me all this stuff.
Legitimately, we need someone to do comics of the facial expressions because they're just on point. Everybody.
What was your fun fact, Zona?
Oh, my fun fact. I am completely obsessed with my cat.
This is true. You're wearing a cat shirt as we speak.
My shirt says my dream job is to be a stay-at-home cat mom. Guess what? I've kind of sort of succeeded in that. Yes. I am an absolute animal lover, and my absolute dream job would be to be freaking Snow White.
Aww.
And just... I just love animals.
I can whistle like Snow White.
Cats are my absolute favorite, but I just have an affinity for all creatures. The other fun fact, the only creature that I cannot tolerate is a cockroach.
Interesting. Spiders, tarantula, snakes, like you're good?
Spiders, tarantulas, I'm okay with. I'm okay with that. I am okay with the creepy crawlers. Except for a cockroach. And that's probably because when I was in the Philippines, and I lived in the Philippines for a little while, and I went to school there, I forgot how old I was. I was probably about 11-ish years old, or give or take. A cockroach, well, it wasn't really a cockroach. It was like one of those big jammies, like a water bug almost. Like the roaches in the Philippines are like, I need to put a saddle on that bad boy and just ride it around.
Ooh, dang. Okay.
Oh, huge. Yeah, they literally are probably about the size of a water bug. Anyway, this sucker flew off the wall and straight into my hair.
Oh.
And I lost my goddamn mind, and my cousins thought it was hilarious because I was hopping around like I had fire ants in my pants because I was determined to get that roach out of my hair because I could feel it, and it was just,
I know, that literally gives me chills, like,
So, yes, out of, I, I am okay with 99.9999% of the animal kingdom, except for roaches. They can all burn in hell. All right. Nope, can't deal with it. And when we go places, like an aquarium, because I love aquariums, they will tell me which tank has the hissing cockroaches or cockroaches, because I will avoid it. Sometimes the kids try to be funny and they're just like, oh, and they try not to show me, but I like see the little plaques. I'll look for the plaque. But yeah.
When,
all animal related fun facts.
When the world ended a couple of years ago in 2020 and, you know, we were, living in a post-apocalyptic, you know, version of reality. We went on a you know, date night, right? We just went to walk around kind of, you know, the where the shops are in the next town over. Everything was shut down. Yeah. But, you know, we just wanted to go out and take a walk. And I didn't really... The cockroaches had overrun the streets at that time. Because there was nobody around. All the restaurants were closed and everything. And, I mean, we were just walking around. There were cockroaches just like... like, we went into like this little gazebo and there was a cockroach in there that was... probably about 6 inches long.
Stop it. Was huge. Oh, hell no. Burn it down.
My
run
dude,
away.
God,
the thing was massive.
That dude was
6 inches might
for
be
us.
An over-exaggeration, but...
He was ready to mug us. Yeah. He was coming for us.
An evil little
That's
guy.
Disgusting.
He was close to that. It was that was probably not far. He was big.
I hate that.
Maybe
he was
4 inches.
Massive.
Maybe
That's when you're
inches.
Like, okay, was... I've had my fun. Back in the car. Go home.
Pretty much. That's what I said. I said, we need to go because I'm like...
The actual heebie-jeebies. Yeah.
Oh. I tried very hard because I was in public not to, like, turn into that screaming meanie. Like,
well, there was nobody else around.
It doesn't matter. I was still in public and I still had to have some kind of decorum. God damn it. Yeah. Exactly.
There were cameras around. You don't know.
There are cameras. You could be
exactly.
on the gas station camera.
I don't know.
The cockroach was filming it.
You know, his buddy was in the background going, yo, dude, I dare you to go scare her. And he was like,
bet
sure.
you won't. Bet
cockroach
you won't.
In the background like, world star.
It was actually
loser.
Like, exactly.
I dare you.
All right, Brian, what's your fun fact?
So my fun fact is that I have tryptophobia.
Oh, do you really?
So do you mm-hmm. know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I am.
For those that don't know,
I am absolutely terrified of like anything that has holes or bumps in it. Like, it's very hard to describe.
Too many holes.
But like, think of a lotus flower. Yeah. You know, when they have,
I love them. I think they're so cool.
I discovered this when I was looking at a picture of an x-ray of my teeth. It wasn't my teeth. I think it was the kids' teeth. And their baby teeth hadn't pushed out yet. And if you ever see an x-ray of a kid's skull where the baby teeth haven't pushed out yet, there's like two layers of teeth.
Oh. Ooh. Yeah.
It was so upsetting for me. Okay, and it drives her crazy.
Stop.
Because
stop it.
Succulents are absolutely I cannot be around them. And she likes them. She's like, I'm gonna buy some succulents for the house. I'm like, why? Why would you do this? Why would you do this to anyone? Why would you want these evil things in the house?
And Brian's gonna get his pet cockroach, and you guys are just gonna put them in separate rooms.
He's gonna live in succulent.
Okay, so what about like stippling? All those little
That's fine.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine. It has to do with the way that they're like arranged, like the patterns that they're arranged in. It's almost like, I don't know if it's like if they're in like these kind of like repeating patterns. I just want no part of it.
It's fun to sometimes think about why like evolution gave you that trait that has been coming down for humanity. Like, at what point was humanity benefited? Like, did it increase your chances of staying alive, of being afraid of this particular thing?
Yeah, what scared the shit out of us so much that now we're afraid of it?
I thought about this, and I think it's because, like, It resembles like a rash or a disease, or you know, like a fungus or something that, like, you know, would be unhealthy. And that's true. Like, that's the reason why it bothers me. I can't think of any other reason why. Otherwise, it's just I'm weird.
My brother has that.
Does he?
Yeah, he does. He. Nope. He has like a visceral gag reaction to it. Like,
podcast.
Until next time, stay toasty.
All right. Stay toasty.
Oh, see? That's cool. Till next time, stay toasty. I like that. Stay toasty. Write that down.
Cozy, warm, toasty, snug as a bug in a rug.
I'm earning them residuals today.
Yeah, I like that. Stay toasty.
Stay toasty. All right.
Cool.